The Red Nation interview series is brought to you by Derby Star Canada. Visit derbystar.ca and see specialty soccer balls designed with development in mind for all ages. Play soccer with quality like the German and Dutch at derbystar.ca.
You're listening to Red Nation Online.
Welcome to the Red Nation Podcast Interview Series. My name is Steve Botcher, and recently I had the chance to speak with Ottawa Fury Technical Director, Philip DeSantos. In this interview, Philip and I discussed the Ottawa Fury and their inaugural year in the North American Soccer League, his career as a coach and technical director, and his upcoming participation as a clinician at the 2015 National Soccer Coaching Conference. And now, Philip DeSantos. Philip, the Ottawa Fury have almost completed their first campaign in the North American Soccer League. How would you assess the team's performance this year and the progress that has been made as an organization?
I think it's been a challenging year, a year of in which we all passed through a bit of a learning process. It's an expansion team, so it was important for us to build the core, and a core that would be strong and allow us to going forward be able to develop from that. And I think we did it. We were able to build that core. I think we were able to put a quality product on the field, make sure that the players that would come to the Fury would identify the club with a serious club, a club that was there to stay and to compete in every game and build a winning mentality inside the club. And I think that today we've achieved that objective. Now we're ambitious, and obviously we're still mathematically in a position where we could make the playoffs. But we know it's going to be very hard, so we have to not only focus on this year, but guide our thoughts to how can we get better for the following year, not only to be a mid-table team, but a team that's going to be able to compete every year after year for a playoff spot and for a chance to win the NSL.
In addition to your work with the Fury, you're also involved with the Canadian National Team program, and you've been very involved with soccer in Quebec overall. I'm guessing that in addition to being a career for you, coaching is also a passion of yours. At what point in your life did you decide that you wanted to devote your life to coaching, the technical aspects of the game and player development?
Very, very soon, very early, I realized that I wouldn't be playing at a level that could put me in a comfortable position financially, one, and also in my personal goals to just be a full life in football. So I knew that I was an average player, played as a semi-pro and professional player, but I knew that I wouldn't reach the higher level. And when I say that, a first division and in a European country and play international football. So very early, I decided, I was about 26, 27, when the first coaching opportunity arrived, I decided to take it, not thinking about the fact that I would quit as a player, but due to the workload, due to everything that started to come on my way, and it just, from night to day, just realized how passionate I was about teaching the game, and how much I liked it, and how much I felt I had qualities to do it, and maybe one day reach the highest level as a coach. So I guided my attention straight away to coaching and through to my education as a coach instead of playing until the age of 35, 36.
I know that you come from a soccer family, with your father having been a coach, and of course your brother Mark is also a coach. Who are some of the coaches and football minds who've been big influences of yours?
Well, I have Being Portuguese, I have to tell you that José Mourinho has been one, obviously, but it's going back a few years back. Always appreciated the work of and the human side and approach that Sir Bobby Robson had when I was a youngster and growing in close to Porto. Luis Van Gaal of this world. So they're all coaches that have influenced me. You think about a Peckerman and the work he did with Argentina, Bielsa, all coaches that have in some capacity stayed in my head. Because in so many ways, they've brought so many good things to the game.
In addition to being Canadian, as you've mentioned, you are also a Portuguese citizen and, you know, of Portuguese descent. And you're someone who has had significant exposure to that country's soccer culture and infrastructure. Portugal is famous for player development. As an up-and-coming and developing soccer nation, what do you think Canada can learn from a country like Portugal?
It's very different because the country size and the reality and the approach. When you think about Portugal, it's one of the countries that have developed a lot when it comes to the game in recent years and invested a lot of money in player development. And the reality is that there's a soccer club in every corner of the street in Portugal. What I think the main trend of Portuguese soccer today, it's the passion in which they approach the game. Everyone and nobody takes player development for granted. There's a lot of investment put in player development. Make sure players are put in the best possible environment, that nothing is taken for granted. They make sure that the best professionals are working with these players. There's been a massive increase of training facilities and proper academies and training grounds invested in Portugal, in that country. And I think we look at three major things. You're going to look at the infrastructures, the structure in which the players are in, and the quality of the people working with the players. So I think those are the three major aspects. And then there's an element that takes years and years to build, which is the culture and the approach of players towards the game. And that's something that we all have to learn from.
Outside of being the nation's capital, Ottawa is an interesting city in that it is located in Ontario, but is located just across the Ottawa River from Gatineau, Quebec. And it's also in close proximity to both Toronto and Montreal. I think there's a perception that there are sort of three distinct and somewhat separate soccer centers in the country, in Toronto, Montreal, and Vancouver. Do you think that the two sort of newer professional clubs in Ottawa and Edmonton can play a role in connecting those three large metropolitan areas and spreading top-level soccer infrastructure across our very large country?
I'm sure we can. And today we're talking about five clubs potentially. With the we're all convinced that we need maybe five more. It's not a reality. I think that Ottawa, geographically, we're almost in dreamland because we're almost too far from the GTA, and we're halfway between Toronto and Montreal, so we could benefit from having players coming in from such a vast area, players that are not willing to travel the full distance to go to Toronto, and they're close enough to come to Ottawa. So I think that we can benefit from it, and I think that the city is a great city. I think that the history around it and everything that's happening today in Ottawa makes it a very attractive point for young players to come in and work in the environment we have to offer today.
With the additions of Ottawa and Edmonton, we now have, you know, five top-level professional clubs in Canada. National team rosters at both the youth and senior men's level have been more and more dominated with players from those Canadian professional teams in recent years. As someone who's part of the national team program and, you know, working at a professional club and who's also been intimately involved with youth soccer and development in Quebec, do you think the advent of the Canadian pro clubs can be the catalyst to getting Canada back to the World Cup?
I think it's vital. I think that today the approach that the CSA has, recommending these environments to players that are looking to reach the highest level and are today potentially being seen by the national team and structure, I think that it makes our environments vital. I think every pro club today have made a commitment to excellence, to making sure that they would put players in quality conditions so that they could reach the highest performance levels and maximize their potential. So I think this is just the start. I think that the more we have quality structures like these ones, the better it's going to be, and more players will be able to work with the right volume inside a proper frame and guidance that comes from the Canadian Soccer Association. Then there's also the communication that goes through between the clubs and the CSA, and I think that today that the fact that we have five environments like this plus the work done by the provinces is allowing more and more players to be working on a daily basis with tools that were impossible a few years ago.
You're a Canadian who isn't just bilingual. You actually speak four languages: English, French, Portuguese, and Spanish. I'm wondering, with soccer being the world's true global sport, and you know every roster seeming to be peppered with players that primarily speak different languages and whatnot, how much has being multilingual enhanced your career and sort of helped you as you've worked with different players from around the world?
There are pros and cons, Steve. Right now I'm talking to you, and it's hard to answer in English because my head is thinking in the three other languages. You know, there's always a backlash. Like, communication becomes it's so mixed in our heads. But I think that when it comes to football, it's actually a good thing because it is a sport where we're in touch with so many players from different backgrounds and different nationalities. And I look at today at the environment where we were in with the NASL team, players coming from everywhere, being able to communicate with them with their words and in their language allows us to get a more personable approach with the player. Being where I was just in Panama with the national team now, and we had players coming from Portugal, and being able to speak with them in Portuguese, it kind of brings us closer to players, and sometimes that's an element that's important. Players often feel that the coach is so far away from them, and it's important for us to show them that we're there to help them and be close to them. So that personal approach becomes important. I think it's a great tool. I think that it's been very good for me in past years because it's never been an obstacle. If I had to move to coach, language was never an obstacle. And I think that's something that has always helped me moving forward.
The National Soccer Coaching Conference will be held early in the new year coming up. And you're a featured clinician at the upcoming event. Your brother Mark Dos Santos was a featured clinician at last year's coaching conference. I'm wondering, did Mark give you any feedback on last year's event, and did he encourage you to take part at the upcoming conference?
He gave me feedback. He told me how good it was and how the organization was and how beneficial it was events like this for our country, where so many coaches don't have the opportunity to go abroad and see other coaches work. Now he didn't have to convince me to be part of it as a clinician. It's always part of it. It's a passion for me also to be able to connect with other coaches and transmit a passion that review in so many ways how I'm doing things, and if my thought process is always the right one, or if I think that we never stop growing. So it's not only an opportunity for me to give, but also to take. So every time I have that chance, I will take it very gladly.
The National Soccer Coaching Conference is still several months away, and you're obviously busy with various things that you're working on. But I'm wondering if you can speak a little bit about what attendees might be able to expect from your sessions at the conference.
I will be myself. I'm going to come in and try to provide, obviously, their topics that are being given at the conference and that were proposed by each clinician. I will be talking about the trends of today's game. So regardless of what will be asked to present, for me it's important that that I provide to every coach there something that is hands-on that they could use on a daily basis, and not just present what we're doing with a professional team, because at the end of the day that won't be the reality for every coach there. It's going to be the reality, I would say, for very few of the coaches. So I have to be able to expose or present something that's going to be useful to the coaches, and I'll do it with the same passion in which I approach football every day. I think that's important. Remain yourself and present something efficient, something that coaches will enjoy and that they could use today for today.
With all of your responsibilities with the Ottawa Fury and the Canadian Men's National Program, I'm sure there aren't enough hours in the day. Given that, why did you decide that it was important to be part of an event like the National Soccer Coaching Conference?
It's a blessing for me, right? It was a very easy helping the National Coaching Conference and make sure that year after year the standard is maintained, and I know they do a good job in that sense, but it's also a blessing for me every time that I could exchange with these coaches and receive for them. So I look forward to it. It's 1 weekend out of the full year thing that is to give a bit of ourselves, even if it's going to force us to leave something behind. I think that we didn't understand the game of football yet, because at the end of the day there's the soccer component, but more than that it's a game that gathers people and brings people together, and it's important to be able to when a request like that comes, it's important to be able to also take a bit of time and accept it and give back to the game.